The title of my talk today is Everyday Miracles. And I know that sounds kind of like an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence, you know, those kind of words. Because most people don't think of miracles as everyday things. We think of miracles as something supernatural, as something mystical and magical and unique that only God can do. There's something that we can hope for, there's something we can pray for, but they're not something we're supposed to expect. If it happens, that's great. If it doesn't, well, we may be disappointed when a miracle doesn't happen, but then again, it wasn't supposed to happen anyway because it's a miracle, okay? So that's what we recognize. Now, as you might expect, the subject of miracles frequently comes up whenever people start talking about church or religion, which makes perfect sense because most religions were founded on miracles. That's what all of the holy days are based on. For example, in Islam, the month of Ramadan is based on a historic battle where a small number of Muhammad's followers faced a huge, overwhelming force, and with the help of Allah, as they believe, they defeated this larger force. Or in Judaism, we're coming up on Hanukkah here in a week. I'll be talking about that next week. Hanukkah is also called the Feast of Lights because after the temple had been overrun and the Maccabees came back and had reclaimed it for the Jewish people, they only had enough oil for one night for the temple, but it took 8 days for new sacred oil to come, and that one day worth of oil burned for the entire 8 days. So that was a miracle too. And then there's the Christmas story with all those miracles, like the virgin birth and the star in the east that the wise men followed. Now, these are all beautiful stories, and they are believed by billions of their respected followers all over the world. However, in teachings like this one, what we call the New Thought Ancient Wisdom teachings, a new way of looking at old ideas, we have a different view of such things because we are based on ideas rather than events. Now, it's always been interesting to me that so many people need to believe in some spectacular, impossible event that defies nature before they can accept the idea of God, of a power that actually created all this and sustains it and lives within it. It's kind of funny if you think about it, because it's not enough that we have 6.5 billion living, breathing, spiritual beings living on this 1 in 1 billion or 1 in 1 trillion planet that is hurtling through space being warmed by a nuclear fireball 93 million miles away. That's not a miracle, okay? That's what they say. But if a statue in a cathedral starts to cry, or they see the image of the Virgin Mary in a pizza or something, you know, they flock to the place like crazy because they qualify that as a miracle. I mean, life is expressing itself, and it's multiplying in countless ways that we can see everywhere, all over the world, and even the best scientific minds that we have cannot duplicate a blade of grass or a rose from scratch, let alone build a human being out of nothing. But just being alive and being healthy, this amazing body we have that is circulation and can digest food and take in oxygen and do all the amazing creative things that our body does, this doesn't qualify as a miracle. Instead, some people have to have evidence of some impossible spontaneous healing of a disease that the medical community called incurable, and they have to give credit to some holy water or a saint who died 500 years ago or whatever it happens to be. So it seems to me that a major shift in our perception of what a miracle is in order. Now, I say these things not to make fun of anyone's belief, because all these miraculous stories are beautiful stories and they have spiritual truth in them. It's just the truth that is in them is not about the story. The stories are used to highlight the truth. So, I talk about this because there is a twofold danger in the way that we've traditionally looked at these events that we call miracles. Now, the first danger is that seeing miracles as only those things limits our vision. If we choose to focus our reverence, which is something very valuable, our reverence only on the exceptions to the rule, only on the events that appear to be outside the natural, physical, or spiritual laws that exist in the world, we risk losing sight of all the wonderful things in the world that are just as significant or just as powerful that go on every day, that are much more common. For example, suppose we go to our doctor, and she tells us that we have a life-threatening illness of some sort. I know people to whom that has happened. Now, if once we hear these words, all of our attention becomes focused on searching for a miracle cure or praying that someone will heal us because we believe that that's the only chance we got, we end up ignoring the natural healing power that our body already has, which may be enough to deal with the problem if we start to focus on it in the right way. Or we may ignore some perfectly reasonable and intelligent medical options that are available to us. You see, the real miracle in any healing situation, not just physical healing, but emotional and mental healing also, the real miracle is not something special that God may decide to do for us. The real miracle is what this power has already given to us, which is a consciousness that is much more powerful than any physical condition or condition in our life that can ever be part of our experience. That's what Dr. Holmes meant when he made the statement, the thing that makes you sick is the thing, the same thing, that makes you well. It isn't that we make ourselves sick and then we've got to get God to try to heal us. It is the consciousness in us that does both. That's the premise, actually, for mental and spiritual healing. An unhealthy mind creates an unhealthy body, but when we heal our mind, we start to get better. That's what it's based on. And that leads us to the second danger of seeing miracles only as something supernatural, as something outside the ordinary, the way the world works. If we believe, as most of the world does, that miracles are special favors given away at the discretion of an arbitrary or judgmental or capricious power that lives out there someplace, if we believe that, then we have effectively denied our role as co-creators with this power of our experience. All right, we've denied that role. In other words, we are ignoring the greatest gift that we have been given as spiritual beings in human form, which is our freedom to use this infinite power that created us to create something better in our life than what we see. Now, we exercise this freedom to use what we have been given, by focusing our belief and our attention on what we want instead of focusing on what we don't want and hope that someone else, we can get God to fix it or take it away from us. Now, once again, this may be a physical healing, it may be an emotional healing, it may be a mental healing we're talking about here, it may be a money or a relationship problem that we want to have someone fix. The principle behind it is the same. If we do not tell this power and ourselves, it's not just about praying out there, it's also knowing something better. If we don't tell this power in ourselves what change we are ready for in our life, or if we automatically reject all the ordinary ways that our good can come because we believe they're not going to work or they won't make sense, if we do that, then we give up our ability, to be able to consciously influence what's showing up in our life. In fact, that's the first rule of attracting and creating so-called miracles in our life, if that's what we want to do. It's to always keep an open mind. Now, part of the problem is that we base so much of our thinking, we get bogged down in things like logic and experience and rational thinking. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. They have their purpose. They are valuable tools that we need to learn how to use. But what we have to realize is that these things, rational thinking and experience, only deal with the things that we already know. They only deal with the knowledge that we already have. So if we want to expand our range of possible solutions in our life, we need to be open to all those different things that are unknown to us, but still knowable, because that's where the real miracles are going to come from. There's a story I love. It's a true story, and it was a few years ago in Denver. They had a conference of quantum physicists. I mean, these are smart people. And one of the most well-known quantum physicists came on the platform in the opening talk, and there was a huge whiteboard up behind him that was going to be able to write all these formulas and all those kind of things. So he went up to the whiteboard, took a marker, and he drew a small dot down towards the right-hand corner before he said a word. And then he turned to his audience of physicists and he said, "That dot indicates how much of science we understand at the present time." That was a pretty big admission for somebody like that. But what he didn't say was that all the rest of the whiteboard, everything outside that dot, symbolized what we would call God, what we would call the universal infinite intelligence that waits for us to discover more and more about how the physical and spiritual laws work, how our mind works, and how we can use it all to express our life in a better way. So as we combine greater knowledge by learning and greater understanding by having an open mind, and we combine these things with spiritual wisdom, which includes things like love and compassion and creativity and respect for each other and respect for our environment and all those other things, they're all included. If we combine those things, then lo and behold, the miraculous will become ordinary and the ordinary will become miraculous. Now, the dictionary defines a miracle this way. The dictionary says a miracle is an extraordinary event in the physical world which surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. Now, the key word here is known, something that surpasses all known human or natural powers. That means if something happens and we can't explain it, then we go to the approach or the thought that there's something mysterious here or God is going to have to handle it. There was a cartoon in the New Yorker a number of years ago. I loved it. And it showed these two scientists in their white lab coats. And they had a board up there. And there were three steps. And the first step was like four lines of all these equations, mathematics, calculus, all that kind of stuff. Step number two was, and then a miracle happens. Step number three was, all these equations equals, and then a conclusion. And the scientists are standing there looking at it. And one of them says, I think step two needs a little work. Okay, so the miracle jump that we take, this is what philosophy calls the God of the gaps. In other words, whenever there is a gap in our knowledge, whether it's scientific knowledge or our own knowledge about our life, whenever something happens in the physical world that we can't explain based on what we already know, we sometimes assume that the way things are going to have to happen or the way they did happen was through a miracle. You know, it's sort of like, the difference is sort of like the person who won the lottery on Friday. Did anybody in here win it? There was one person. It wasn't one of you guys, was it? Okay, good. Just asking, you know. Whoever won it is probably in Aruba right now or something anyway. No matter who won, you know, if one of us won or whatever, we might call it a miracle, but it's not a miracle because that person picked their six numbers and their numbers came up. Now, if they had won the lottery without a ticket, okay, that would have been a miracle. So that's kind of the difference between the two. Now, throughout history, people, and we all know them, we may have even done it in a past life here, people have given God credit for such natural occurrences as winning the lottery, as solar and lunar eclipses, earthquakes, floods, droughts, and plagues of locusts inflicted upon our enemies. Some people call those miracles. But as our level of understanding about the solar system and the environment and scientific laws, as those things improved, as our knowledge expanded, we began to see these things differently because now we had an explanation. Unfortunately, some spiritual teachings, some religions, still refuse to allow anyone to question their miracle stories or to even accept the possibility of a natural explanation. Because accepting these stories as they are told from legend, mythology, or whatever their writings are, accepting these stories is their proof that God is real. So they end up substituting scientific and rational understanding for blind faith. That's why science and religion have been at each other's throats for years. But there's another approach that we can take. We don't have to go to the total blind faith side or the purely scientific side. There's a wonderful middle path, as the Buddha called it. This idea combines intelligent science with deep spiritual values. Now, Albert Einstein kind of epitomized that. He was a scientist who was also a deeply spiritual person. And he once made the statement, I'm sure many of you have heard it, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though everything is a miracle, and the other is as though nothing is a miracle. All right? Another statement he made is, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. That's wonderful perspective, the way he looked at it. I think most of us here would agree in terms of his first statement that the healthiest and most constructive way for us to live, mentally and spiritually, is to look at every single piece of the world, of this thing we call life, as a miraculous occurrence. Everything, the very fact that anything exists, should absolutely amaze us. So the miracles that we should be focusing on are not those events that happen outside of nature, because there aren't many of those anyway. The miracle, the one miracle that is ongoing, that most deserves our attention, is the creative process itself. That's what we talk about here. That is the one miracle that takes many different forms. It's the process that nature uses day in and day out to create this world that we see. You see, the creative process is the perfectly natural combination of intelligence and physical laws, and it creates amazing things like thunderstorms and butterflies and flowers and trees and children who can laugh. And these perfectly ordinary miracles constantly remind us that life is something beautiful, something abundant, and something precious. And that's something that we forget. Now, these are the miracles we may not be able to recreate ourselves, but we can certainly understand them and appreciate them. The important thing is not to let our rational, scientific understanding get in the way of our sense of wonder, like Kermit's song that I sang earlier. Not to get in the way, not to allow it to get in the way of our reverence for the power at work, because these two things go hand in hand. Dr. Holmes talks about it. It's love and it's law. We have a wonderful, amazing, supportive universe, and it works through rational, logical, intelligent laws. Now, there are other little miracles that we talk about that affect us in different ways, and we don't call them miracles. We call them things like synchronicity or coincidence or luck, but all they really are is a coming together of natural occurrences and conditions in a way that we didn't realize was possible, that sometimes seems like it's magic. For example, a friend of mine had this happen to him. Let's say we finally decide that we want to change our career, but we aren't sure what to do, what we want, or anything else. So one afternoon, we leave our job a little bit early, and once again, this did happen. He said he left his job early, and he went to a store that he didn't normally go to, and he ran into a friend that he had not seen for years, but strangely enough, the day before, he had been going through his closet and came across some pictures, and one of the pictures he looked at the time was this friend. So in the course of their conversation, while they were chatting about old times, the friend just happened to mention this incredible job opportunity that fit him perfectly, and he ended up getting the job. Or a personal story that happened, not that big a deal, but to me it was interesting. When I had just moved to Atlanta, I was going to buy a house, and I went through a great little neighborhood near here. This is 25 years, called Morningside. You know, very, very nice. And I found a house, and it was great, but I was a little bit short on the down payment. So I had made the offer, and I was wondering. And that day, a letter came in the mail from that very spiritual organization, the IRS. And I went, oh, God. And I opened it, and inside it was a check for $4,012.85 or something like that, which was exactly how much money I needed to complete my down payment. And they said I had underpaid my taxes several years before and they hoped I would forgive them. So, you know, go figure. Now, do these kind of things qualify as miracles, all right? Or were they just ordinary occurrences that happened to work out in amazing ways? But an even more interesting and relevant question is there a way that we can cause events like this to happen more often in our life? Because if we can figure that out, if we can start to create miracles on our own whenever we want them, that's going to make life a lot easier. Now, what we talk about here in this teaching is that we do have the ability to experience what we might call everyday miracles in our own lives on a regular basis. And the good news is we don't need any more participation from God than we already have. And I'm talking here about our ability to consciously create conditions and experiences and opportunities and relationships even that we previously considered impossible, usually because of some logical, reasonable, but completely unnecessary limitations that we have accepted for our own. You see, in this teaching, we refer to this as the process of manifestation. Manifestation, you've all heard that word. That's simply the way that we go about making something invisible into something visible. It's the act of turning something that exists only in our consciousness into something concrete, of turning something possible but not very likely into something very real. Now, on a material level, this deals with the process of getting stuff we want, getting jobs, getting relationships, money, and all that other stuff. But on a spiritual level, which is much more important, this is the way that we interact with the divine creative process that we call God, that is not only something that we use, it's what we are. We are not someone who uses this process. We are this process at work. And this process makes use of the physical laws of the universe, but it does so using mental and spiritual laws that help us to align with the power of life that's always creating. And the more we align with this power, the greater things we can do, but we have to learn how to use these laws. And here's the key. To make this process work the way we want it to work, which is consciously and deliberately, that's what we want to be able to do, we have to see it as a science, as an intelligence, rather than a superstition. That means it's dependable rather than arbitrary. It means it's predictable rather than random and happens when it feels like it. And it comes from in here instead of coming from someplace out there. So that means that you and I have to see ourselves as an integral part of the process that creates miracles in our life if we intend to have them happen. Now, in some ways, the power and the process that we use to create our experiences is perfectly ordinary. It's the thing we use every day as we wander through the world, but it's not just a tool that we turn on and off at our convenience. Some people get into this teaching, they want to learn treatment so that they can actually mechanically create things in their life. Now, we can use it that way, and it'll work okay. It'll work better than the way most people control their life. But if we really want to have extraordinary things happen to us and through us on a regular basis, if we want to experience those everyday miracles that makes our life just bust out day after day, where we're just laughing all the time at the way things are happening, we have to go a little bit further than just learning the technique. We have to honor this power because it's what we are. We need to respect it because of what it does, but we need to put ourselves in harmony with it all the time, not just when we want something. We need to connect with this power, with life, which is what it is, as often as we can, but we need to connect with it at a deeper level than most of the world does. We need to connect with it at a mental and spiritual and emotional level, which completely accepts that this is a world of infinite possibility that is limited only by our imagination. That's the frame of mind and the frame of heart we need to get in. We have to go beyond our normal tendency to divide the world into the ordinary and the extraordinary as two different things. Because that kind of thing is a limited idea. It limits our vision. It limits our ability to see a greater possibility than what we're stuck in at the moment. And we need to believe this with every single fiber of our being, to believe that something incredible can happen anytime, because that's the kind of universe that we believe in. So we need to believe that any disease can be healed, not just kept under control, no matter what the doctors say. We need to accept that prosperity can come anytime from perfectly unexpected sources. And we need to know that love, which is the greatest miracle of all, can overcome and show up and overcome any amount of anger, any amount of fear or loneliness or any other emotion that divides two people or two groups of people. I mean, these are miracles that are happening every single day, but what we need to know is that they can happen to us. They can happen to us. Now, how do we do this? Well, it takes two things we talk about here all the time. It takes awareness and it takes practice, those two things. We have to begin to draw on different resources than we normally do, spiritual resources, actually, that combine our intelligence and our love of life. We have to start expecting the unexpected. We need to know, not just think, but to know that anything is possible. We have to let our imagination run free, which a lot of people do, but we need to let it run free in a good direction, in a positive direction, okay? Most people let their imagination run away to fear. Otherwise, if we can't open our mind and open our heart at least that far, there's not going to be any room for miracles to appear in our life. Now, in the Science of Mind text, Dr. Holmes writes this. It's a short paragraph, but it's very, very beautiful. He says, "There is a place in the mind where it throws itself with complete abandonment into the very center of the universe." That got my attention when I read that part. He said, "There is a point in the supreme moment of realization where the individual merges with the universe, where a sense of the oneness of all life so enters our being that there is no sense of separation." And then he says, "It is here, in this place, that the mind performs seeming miracles because there is nothing to hinder God from coming through." That's good stuff. In other words, we have to center ourselves in this place of consciousness where there's no separation and nothing to hinder this power from coming through, because that's when the miracles begin to flow through us and no one and nothing in the world can stop them. Now, if we can learn to focus our attention on the end that we desire, and if we allow this creative process, this God process, that's another thing to call it, it's great. If we allow this process to bring that end about in the best way possible, sometimes the way that things happen kind of seems like a miracle. But even when it does, we should not be surprised. When we have a miracle happen in our life, or that's what it feels like, we should be delighted, we should be grateful, and we should be ready for it to happen again and again and again. There is no quota. There is no limitation. Because if we would just allow amazing and unexpected things to happen in our life will start to feel almost like a magic show with all this stuff showing up and we can't figure out why. One incredible experience after another. That is the way it is meant to be. That's the way we're meant to be. That's why we are here, and that is why the world is the way it is and works the way it does. I mean, the truth is, if we are not fascinated by every bit of life every single day, we're just not paying attention. But once we figure that part out and we do start to pay attention, the fun thing is we can start to relax and enjoy the show. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. All right, let's take a few minutes for ourselves. Take a deep breath or two. Take the ideas that resonated with you, the ideas that made you think, that made you feel. I give them to you freely. Take these ideas and set them at the center of your consciousness, because right now, when we are awake and aware, is one of the most powerful times in our life. In the now, in the present, in this moment, we have the ability to change our mind about anything in our life and anything in the world and have that change begin to take effect. Because when we focus on a greater idea, when we focus on the power of God, the power of Spirit, and the power that lives in us, when we focus on that power, we become that power and we are able to change anything. We are able to see something better and have it begin to take form like a seed planted in the ground. A seed planted in our consciousness is planted in the consciousness of the world, and we are part of bringing it about. This is what we know. So as we accept the power that is ours, and we no longer accept the power of the world over us, we begin to live in an entirely different way. We begin to live freely, joyfully, with no limitation. No limitation in our mind, no limitation in our heart, and the limitations that we have created in our life begin to disappear. They dissolve, they waste away, they go back to the nothingness from whence they came. So I invite you to take a few moments now, and in these few moments, in the silence of your own heart and mind, recognize, simply recognize the presence of this power. Feel it, recognize that it is something in you, and it recognizes itself everywhere else in the world. It is ready to expand and go in whatever direction you tell it to go. This is Spirit. and it supports all of us all the time. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept the ability that we have been given, the gift that we have been given to create, to grow, to expand, to understand, and to simply be present here in this amazing experience we call life. With a deep appreciation for all that we have been given and all that we have yet to give, we go into the world today, beginning a new life, changing what we are thinking, changing what we believe, and changing what we are creating. This is our truth. We accept it, and we release it now into consciousness, letting it do its good and perfect work for us in every moment that we are alive. And so it is.